I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Was the DNI that did the national security threat assessment on TikTok for the CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., back in the summer of 2020. It was my recommendation that was the basis of President Trump's executive order at that time, based on our assessment that, number one, that the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, was controlled by the CCP, and two, that the algorithms used and the information collected did pose a significant national security threat. President Biden rescinded that order, as you know, after there was a legal challenge to it. But, you know, I completely supported Congressman Gallagher's bill here. I do think that TikTok has proven over the last few years that it's even more of a national security threat than when we assessed in 2020. And so I think this is a very good development. I certainly hope that the resounding bipartisan margins here will spur Senator Schumer to allow a vote on this over in the Senate. This would be good for our national security posture.
It would be good for our national security posture. It would be good for our national security, period. You were listening to then the former director of Department of National Intel, John Ratcliffe, talking about the issue with TikTok. There are developments regarding TikTok out of Congress today. There was, first of all, a classified briefing on TikTok that then led to divergent takeaways. House lawmakers apparently divided on the value of what kind of briefing should be held to speed up the TikTok issue. And in fact, California Republican John Duarte voted against the bill today, said, I went to a briefing yesterday at the top secret meeting. It was vacuous, no specific information given in that briefing. There was well-founded evidence and specific about what TikTok or anybody else what was doing. Now, Michigan Democrat Dan Kildee, who voted for the bill, described it as a judgment call, saying this is one of those arguments where you can push either an argument for me, or at the end of the day, it really came down to whether or not we can take action to deter the malign influence of the People's Republic of China. So what happened? Well, the House did pass legislation that could ban TikTok in the U.S. unless the app parts ways with its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. Now, that's going to be a major challenge to one of the world's most popular social media sites. Something like 170 million Americans routinely use TikTok and are on it constantly. So the bill was passed on a bipartisan vote. And keep in mind, the margin for the Republicans in the House is still slim, 4-5 maybe. Here's the vote, 352 to ban it or make them dissolve and sell ownership to a U.S. force company, 65 against doing it. So overwhelmingly, 352 members of the House said, yeah, TikTok is a danger. We need to do something with it. We need to do it right now. We're going to get more into that in a moment. Now, of course, as you also heard, it has to now go to the Senate. And TikTok is already blasting the House, urging the Senate to, quote, consider the facts. Consider the facts as we present them on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, one other thing that I should share with you, I did not get this from TikTok, but I know it's out there. Trump and Biden, when their delegates will be officially collecting them at their conventions this summer. No surprise. No surprise, Biden picked up the final ballots or delegates he needed yesterday in some scattered states. I mean, these were really minor states. We all knew it was going to come down to this. And then Trump also picked up what he needed to pass the 1,215 count to get the party nomination. But again, each will be officially accepting the nomination on behalf of their party at their conventions. Republicans in July and Democrats in Chicago in August. Here we are Hour number one of Larry Connors USA. This is March 13, 2024. Reminding you, we're on the air from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video so you can watch. You can watch at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. No YouTube. They're off YouTube again, too. Thanks, Quentin just reminded me. They're been banned again from YouTube. We're banned from YouTube. So Larry Connors USA does not have it either, but that's fine by me. But you can also watch the videos at Larry Connors USA Rumble, Twitter, and Facebook. You got a lot of ways to pick up programs and watch and or listen later as a podcast when it fits your schedule. I certainly understand maybe you can't listen all the way through Monday through Friday from 6 to 8, but know that they're available for you to go back and pull them up, and more importantly, for you to share them. When you share them, you multiply by X factors our audience, and getting the word out is going to be critical as we go through the next several months. Back on the TikTok issue, Senator Rubio is one of those in the Senate who is more than willing to do something about TikTok, either ban it or break it up and be sold to a local conglomerate of some type. But we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. But Rubio said it is essential.
People like it. And the reason why they like it, what makes TikTok so good, is that it has this artificial intelligence that knows you better than you know yourself. It's literally reading your mind. The more you use it, the more it knows about you. The problem is not that TikTok has that. The problem is that ByteDance and their engineers in China are the ones that own that artificial intelligence. And no matter where you put my data or anybody, I don't use TikTok, but people that use TikTok, no matter where you store that data, you could store it in a safe in the United States. Those engineers in China have to have access to the data, but they control the brain of TikTok. They control that artificial intelligence. And the point I made today, and the FBI director agreed, is if the Chinese Communist Party goes to them and says, we want you to defeat Donald Trump, we want you to put out messages that are anti-Trump and pro-Biden, ByteDance has to do it. It doesn't matter that they're a company in China. By Chinese law, they have to do it. If they say, we want the data of all your users that live in Florida, they have to give it to them. They don't have a choice but to do it. That is Chinese law. And so as long as ByteDance owns the artificial intelligence that powers TikTok, we got a Trojan horse living inside our country.
It's as simple as that. So I would like to see the Senate go along with the House, either ban it entirely or make it be put up for sale. Now, who can come forward with that kind of money? One person, multiples, corporations. And then, of course, the fear is, as Trump has said, as to why he has decided that maybe we shouldn't ban it. Trump has flip-flopped to that extent. But he said, the more I thought about it, it will make Facebook even bigger, and I think they're more of a threat than TikTok is. I'm going to have to disagree with the former president. TikTok is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. I'm not saying Facebook does not have ties to the Chinese Communist Party with some of its leadership, but there's a clear delineation in my mind. What about you? All right, the other thing going on, as we said, Trump and Biden are the official nominees once they get to their conventions. And then there's a development today on that Georgia case against Donald Trump. Now, this does not end the case, but it doesn't look good for Fannie Willis. And in fact, the Fulton County Judge McAfee dismissing three charges against President Trump today in this election interference case. Now, keep in mind, the dismissed charges include six counts in the indictment, including three against Trump. He's still charged with more than half a dozen others, originally charged with 13. Here's the way the Associated Press reported the story. The ruling is a blow for Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, whose case has already been on shaky ground with an effort to have her removed from the prosecution over her romantic relationship with a colleague, the very one that was putting together the case who had no experience, and that might be why it's being thrown out. He didn't provide good case background to present the case. Inexperienced, he got hired simply because he was her lover. Well, that's apparently all coming apart, but a ruling on the judge making a decision about dismissing the case entirely or throwing it out because of the affair between Willis and her special prosecutor, that's yet to come. Another, we'll have more on that, by the way, in our second hour, the second hour. You don't want to miss it. Another hot topic on that special counsel report yesterday from Robert Hur testifying on Joe Biden accused of mishandling classified documents. Now, if you listen to Democrats, if you listen just to Democrats, Hur was already a prop to humiliate Joe Biden.
You used your report to trash and smear President Biden because he said in response to questions over a five-hour interview that he didn't recall how he got the documents. And you knew that that would play into the Republicans' narrative that the president is unfit for office because he's senile. And the American people saw during the State of the Union address that that was not true. But yet that's what you tried to offer to them, and that's why they are having you here today. And you knew that that's what was going to happen, didn't you?
Congressman, I reject.
He can say I reject, but they've already got their mind made up. And as far as they're concerned, it's all political. The Trump case was not political. This is political. Plain politics. Well, how about the White House trying to interfere with Robert Hur's summation?
That February 5th letter that was sent to you asking you to change references to the president's poor memory, wasn't there a request by the White House to do that?
There was a request, yes.
Didn't the White House then go to the Attorney General himself and say that he would like to see changes to the references in regards to the president's memory?
The White House counsel did send such a letter.
So the White House did send a letter once they saw the Hur report saying, can you kind of strike those things out about the memory? You were listening then to Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany. Ahead of him was Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson claiming you, Hur, and the Republicans are playing politics. Well, Tiffany just got a response from Hur that you were getting communication from the White House that you should change the report, right? Yes, I was. Now, Dan Abrams of News Nation talked about how some of the transcript read. Please listen.
Right before his testimony, we received the transcript of the hours-long interviews between Biden and the special counsel, which, yes, shows Biden fumbling dates, like saying, quote, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? And in 2009, am I still vice president? Look, what's unclear is if he was just asking aloud or if he truly didn't remember, regardless. The left, including Congressman Adam Schiff, accusing Hur of taking unnecessary shots at President Biden's memory and age.
You could have chosen just to comment on the president's particular recall vis-a-vis a document or a set of documents, but you decided to go further and make a generalized statement about his memory, didn't you?
Congressman, I could have written my report theoretically in a way that omitted references to the president's memory, but that would have been an incomplete and improper report, and that it did not reflect
my
analysis.
You could have written your report with comments about his specific recollection as to documents or a set of documents, but you chose a general pejorative reference to the president. You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Hur, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Well, of course, that's Adam Schiff claiming, I know how to create a firestorm. I did it with Trump, and that's what you were trying to do, right? No, Hur said I was not doing that. But obviously those words, as Schiff wants to claim, pejorative, could be just also factual. Facts. Now, within that transcript review, and you also heard Abrams point out that before Hur actually testified, he resigned as a prosecutor and was testifying as a private citizen for reasons to point out that now I've finished my work, I can talk about it, but I'm doing it as a private citizen. Sean Duffy is a former prosecutor. And he was watching this play out and how Hur handled the case, and here was his take.
This is a flim-flam argument by Robert Hur to say, you know what, Joe Biden is forgetful, he's affable, and therefore he can't win a conviction. Prosecutors go, you know what, one president was charged. Let's look at charging this one just on the basis of equality of how the law works, and I'll let a jury decide. We do that all the time. Present your case, Robert Hur, and if the jury acquits him, so be it. But if they convict him, That's what prosecutors do, and I have faith in Robert Hur. But the fact that you have all of this evidence, Joe Biden knew the evidence was there. He knew he had classified documents. He didn't call up the archives and say, listen, I've got these classified documents. I want to turn them over. He actually used them to write his book, and then he kept them. This is an egregious crime that if we're going to prosecute former presidents, both Trump and Biden have to be treated similarly.
That would make sense, would it not? Oh, yes, it would. Now, Sean Duffy is a former prosecutor. He was on Fox News. So you can say, well, he already had his mind made up to go to the right with Trump. But you heard him criticize her saying, why didn't you go ahead and just bring it and put it in front of a jury and let them decide? You know, there's a very similar case of the past. Do you recall that? That would be the Hillary Clinton case when FBI director at that time, Comey, told Congress, well, yeah, she did break this law, did break that. She violated this. She did this wrong. But we decided we're not going to issue any charges because no prosecutor would see it through. I still say to this day, that's because he had a conversation, a coming to Jesus meeting with Attorney General Loretta Lynch at the time on basically why Biden, or rather Clinton, Bill Clinton, was on board her plane on a tarmac in Arizona when they were also investigating Hillary Clinton. And she probably told him, said, look, whatever you decide, we'll go along with. Wink, wink. But don't decide you want to prosecute her. It's not the duty of the job of the FBI director to decide if we're going to prosecute. You build the case. Special Prosecutor Hur had the same situation here, only he does go forward with the case and present it to a jury. Sean Duffy calling him out saying, I think he mishandled it. Well, of course, he's getting criticism from both sides. An example again, once again, California Congressman Schiff.
You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Hur, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Congressman, politics played no part whatsoever in my investigative steps.
But you understood nevertheless, didn't you, Mr. Hur? Mr. Hur, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that, didn't you, when you wrote those words, when you decided to include those words, when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents? You understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle and by President Trump. You understood that, did you not?
Congressman, what I understood is the regulations that govern my conduct as special counsel.
And those regulations
me to write a confidential report for the Attorney General,
which you knew would not be confidential.
Explaining my decision, and that is what I did, Congressman.
Mr.
I followed
you,
the rules.
You knew it would not be confidential.
I followed them.
You knew it would not be confidential, didn't you?
Sir, the regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General,
which you knew would be released.
It was up to the Attorney General
to determine you understood
what
it would be released.
The report
did you
would
not?
Be released consistent with you, DOJ policy.
You understood it would be released. You understood it would be released.
I understood from the Attorney General's public comments that he would make as much of my report public as he could, consistent with legal requirements.
Making what he wanted available that he could. Schiff just loves pointing out how bad you are, ignoring looking in the mirror, of course. Next hour, more on the fallout from the Hur Report, plus Senator Rand Paul. We need to audit the Federal Reserve. Coming up next, transgender activists are coming at your kids, and they're not hiding it anymore. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drank whiskey, punch, or drink of wine.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let's just bring you a bit of breaking news, which may be of interest to some of you. It's about puberty blockers. Now, these are drugs that are used to delay the changes of puberty in transgender youngsters. In terms of how they are prescribed by the NHS, there has been a lot of controversy over the last few years about this. At the moment, they are only prescribed to children attending gender identity services as part of clinical research, and they are not routinely offered to children at gender identity clinics, but they are still offered. Well, the government, NHS England, has just confirmed that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics. This is coming from NHS England, just broke in the last few moments.
Great, great. But that British, as they call them, I believe, announcers, this is a story that might be of interest. What do you mean, might be of interest? It damn sure is of interest. And then she talked, it's been kind of a controversy lately. It has not been lately. It's been from the beginning. But the other part of that, that she did not have maybe in hand at that point, because she just got the word that the National Health Organization of England said, we will not give puberty blockers to children. Good. But still within the Great Britain area, Scotland will. The National Health Department in Scotland still does plan on using them. My guest is Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, billed as one of the top defenders of America's families. Terry, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. Excited to be here.
So let's look at this as the children in England, according to the National Health Service, they are going to ban any more use of puberty blockers, but Scotland's not. Are we beginning to see at least a crack in the thought that this is a bad idea?
Absolutely. And frankly, this has been growing and growing and growing, the opposition effort to what we've been doing to children. And it's interesting, Larry, the people in these countries, you do the public polling on this, and you ask people if you think kids should be able to get puberty blockers or these surgeries, and the vast majority of people oppose it, right? They support protecting kids from this stuff. It's our political class. It's the people that are getting bought and sold by this transgender industry. You know, they're making $4 billion a year off of the hormones and the surgeries every single year, and they're reinvesting that in buying out politicians and journalists, and if you can call them that. So this is all coming to fever pitch because, the UK does not have a for-profit healthcare system. And look, I'm not a socialist when it comes to healthcare, but they're making a decision right here that where profits aren't involved, where no one can get paid off. They're looking at the outcomes, and they don't have anything that's good.
Now, let me break this down, because they point out that from 2021 to 2022, more than 5,000 young people were referred to the Gender Identity Development Service, the National Health Clinic in the UK, and that compares to less than 250 a decade earlier. 250 10 years ago, 5,000 in the 21 to 22. The clinic is closing, and a consultant pediatrician, former principal of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health, led an independent review and said there was, quote, insufficient long-term evidence of what happens to young people who are prescribed puberty blockers. But in contrast, as you pointed out, U.S. medical associations approve it as medically accepted treatment for transgender, non-binary youth, and they present it as affirming care.
There's nothing affirming about these procedures and surgeries. Nothing. These are not sex change procedures. These are not gender affirming care procedures. These are sex and body destruction procedures. These procedures sterilize children. They chop up their body. They remove their healthy and completely perfectly functioning body parts. And they attempt to play God, and they're creating Frankenstein monsters with this.
And how do you explain, I mean, the first rule of being a doctor is first do no harm, and especially I would think when it comes to kids, but the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry issued a statement that gender-affirming care is supported by us and others.
Well, this is what happens when you buy off an association, or when an ideology takes over and starts to make an impact. Right. These are people that are ideologically captured. That means they're brainwashed, and they don't believe that sterilizing children is harmful. And let me repeat that. These are people that are so sick and twisted and perverted in their way of thinking that they don't think that sterilizing a child and mutilating like this is actually causing harm.
And not only the American Academy of Pediatrics, but the American Medical Association, AMA, opposes bans on these treatments.
It's absolutely insane, but you got to follow the money, Larry. And the money is $140,000 to do a gender transition. And that's just the transition, right? I want to be clear. It's $140,000 to just do the transition. That's not counting the revisions and all the additional surgeries that come down the road. You know, with these surgeries, no one talks about it. There's all types of complications, and then someone has to go back in for another surgery, and then another surgery for the complications there. And then on top of the $140,000 per surgery and per medical transition that they do, you have a lifelong medical treatment that's not being considered. And we're talking regular hormone treatment, like sometimes daily hormone treatments.
Forever.
Are very expensive. Forever. These are lifelong customers.
You know,
these guys don't talk about it like us. They use terms that Silicon Valley and investors use. They call it lifetime value of transgender patients. This is sick.
I saw a cartoon, and it's funny and yet it's not. There's a little boy being led by his mother, and the boy looks to be maybe 4 or 5 years old. He's going past a sign that says tattoo parlor, coming in to get your tattoo. And she's taking him into a clinic labeled gender-affirming clinic, and the little boy's looking at the tattoo sign, and she says, no, that would be permanent for your body. You don't want to do that. And yet she's taking him in to have his sex changed.
They don't see, look, so with the parents, it's a little bit different, because the parents are emotionally blackmailed. What happens is these doctors and these people that are about to make money is they scare the bejesus out of these parents. They tell them that these are life saving treatments. They tell them that unless their child gets these treatments, that they will attempt suicide. Larry, can you imagine anything worse as a parent to have a kid commit suicide all because you didn't make a call here to chop up their bodies and inject them with hormones? I mean, these are experts.
It's
these
a heavy guilt.
These are supposed to be people you trust.
Yeah, and they're trying to put the guilt on you. And of course, if it happens, and if there are children that truly are dysphoria, they need help. mental health, not immediately rushed into puberty blockers. I want to share something with you from, you're listening, by the way, again, to my guest, and he is with the, let me get the exact title. I'm sorry, I don't want to misstate it. American Principles Project, it is a top defender of American families. Terry Schilling is the president of it. I want to share a piece written by John Daniel Davidson, put out just today, saying transgender activists say your kids have a right to carve out their bodies. And he points to the latest cover of New York Magazine and saying that the transgender movement is coming for your kids and they're not trying to hide it.
No, they're not. And if you look at the cover of New York Magazine, where that article is front and center, the cover of that magazine says freedom of sex. Freedom of sex,
right.
Regarding an article pertaining to children, Larry. I mean, they're putting this stuff out there in the open. They're begging us to shut this whole thing down. This is what it's about. It's about sexualizing children at the earliest age. It's about making sure that they are miserable and unable to produce. There's an ideological aspect here where they think that they should be their own gods and be able to do whatever they want to their body. There's a for-profit aspect here. But, Larry, we would be insane not to believe that there is a population control effort here. They want to sterilize kids, and the only way they can really do that is if they scare the heck out of parents and make them think that if they don't do it, that they'll kill themselves. It's just a load of malarkey.
Well, the sterilization issue and basically getting to zero birth, is that what you're suggesting?
Look, when you sterilize a young girl, right, a young girl will go on and have two, three, maybe, you know, girls are the more valuable sex when it comes to procreation because they limit how many kids you can have at a time.
Terry, I'm sorry, are you so out of it you don't know men can carry a baby?
Well, that's what they're telling us, yeah. But you sterilize one little girl and that's eliminating two or three people. And then you got to do the math here because it's exponential, right? Because then those two or three kids go on to have their own kids. They're wiping out entire family lines here. I mean, I feel crazy being the only one saying it out loud, but they are decreasing the population by sterilizing these kids. It's criminal. This is going to be one of those human atrocities that they teach along with eugenics and everything else that they did in this country. It's so bad.
That same time, New York Magazine cover, where you said it wrote freedom of sex, the subline is the moral case for letting trans kids change their bodies. There is no such thing as a trans kid until you begin that.
There are boys. And there are girls, and we need to leave them alone, right? And that's the message that, you know, they call us bigoted. They call people that say, hey, maybe don't give kids sex changes. Maybe don't block their natural puberty. Maybe let kids be kids and let them work out this stuff. They call us bigots, right? It's absolutely criminal.
But we won't let them have a tattoo.
Well, keep in mind, those laws were all passed decades ago, right? And so what's happening now is that the elected officials, the political class right now that's in power, they are so weak and unable to actually address this pending crisis that they won't do a common sense thing.
It's shocking and shameful in so many ways. Terry Schilling, as always, I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project. That is frightening, and it should worry you, and you should stand up and defend children from these predators. Coming up, Tennessee Congressman Hagerty says the illegals are counting in our census for a reason.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
President Xi's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Democrats are pursuing this illegal migration process for power, for sheer power. The end game for them is just what you described, Liz. If you can get these illegal migrants into the country, if you can get them to blue states, then you're disproportionately affecting the voting power of those blue states, because illegal migrants are counted for the purposes of allocating congressional seats and for allocating electoral votes. My legislation would have stopped that and said you can only count citizens for the purposes of allocating congressional power and presidential power when you get to electoral votes. Certainly the Constitution is clear when it says only citizens may vote. The Democrats push back and say, oh, these illegal people coming here can't vote. That may be true right now, but they certainly are counted for the purposes of allocating congressional districts and electoral votes, and they proved on Friday night that that is the motive behind the crime at our border.
And I misspoke earlier. I called him Congressman. That is Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty. His state has a population of around, at last check, 7 million. Well, at last check also, according to the census numbers, when it asked how many U.S. residents are from immigrant families, immigrants and their U.S.-born children number approach 87 million, close to 27% of the U.S. population. And apparently, that's an increase from 14 million in the previous census 10 years before. And this does not really take into effect, since this was taken in 2020. The 8, 10, maybe 12 million illegals have come into the country on Joe Biden's watch. And Hagerty, Senator Hagerty, introduced a bill the other day saying we need to make it certain law. It's already in the Constitution, but reinforce it. If you're illegal, you're not allowed to vote, period. But, of course, they're already doing it in various sanctuary cities and counties and states for municipal elections. Or for, basically, they took an illegal the other day and put them on a county board in San Francisco. They knew they were illegal. They didn't care. Is this what we've come to? Yes, it is. It's exactly what we've come to. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because when they begin to vote in mayoral elections or your school board election, then pretty soon they're going to end up running your community and your schools and having more control and power over your kids. Next thing you know, well, they'll be running in some position that will lead to a congressional or Senate opportunity. And then, well, they've already been voting and gotten here. Might as well let them do that. I point out again to you, I'm sure most of you are aware of this, but just to reaffirm it, every state gets two U.S. senators, so every state is fully and properly represented in the U.S. Senate. Now, of course, the Democrats would like to make D.C. and Puerto Rico states. And if they do, there's four more senators, and you know they're going to be Democrat senators from D.C. and Puerto Rico. But right now, we have 50 states, we have 100 senators. Then when it comes to the House of Representatives, you get the number of representatives based upon your state's population. As I was reading the numbers to you the other day, San Francisco, I believe, has 30-plus congressional members. I think it's even higher than that. Let me double-check my fact, because I've got so many facts I go over. I don't want to be wrong on how many are in there, and I think I said 30 and it's higher. It's 50, 53 or better. I knew it was. Then we got some states that only have one congressional representative. How do you think they stack up on any bill that the California group and liberals want to push through? They have really no vote anyway. They have a vote, but it amounts to nothing. And that's what Hagerty is saying, because they're going to be taking the basis of the population in your state and breaking it out into 750,000 in just round numbers, and they will all be in one congressional district, and then they multiply that over your state as to how many total residents you've got in your state, and then you find out how many representatives you have in the House of Congress. And, of course, then you run races, forget whoever gets into the House of Congress on behalf of that state. And in California, you know the majority are Democrats. But I want to give you something else to consider, because as he said, he brought this up trying to get them to take a closer look at how you're going to deal with this going forward. Because if you allow this to continue and you start letting illegals vote, that's one thing. But just the fact that they're in a congressional area, they have now maybe raised the population of that state, so they get additional congressional seats. And that is why sanctuary states like California and Illinois and New York want more and more illegals. They say they don't, and they really don't. They just want the number of representation in Congress to increase. And the way to do that is you get a bigger population. That's the question right there. Can they get more illegals into California than folks that are leaving California? When you get into looking at the foreign-born population that we currently have, and I'm talking about that are here legally, there's a website on the U.S. government's website talking about the foreign-born population. This does not mean they're illegal, just if they're foreign-born. They might have come here legally, but they count them as foreign-born, but if they become a citizen, then they're entitled to everything every American citizen gets. The foreign-born population, as they say, is composed of anyone who is not a U.S. citizen at birth. Stop it right there. Right there. All these illegals that are coming into our country, either known or the gotaways, if those women have children, they're born in the States, they are now automatically, the child is a U.S. citizen. Automatically. Now, this includes, as they say in the government's handout, the foreign-born population is composed of anyone who is not a U.S. citizen at birth. This includes those who have become U.S. citizens through naturalization. Everyone else is counted among the native-born population, again, which comprises anyone who is a citizen at birth, those born in the U.S., Puerto Rico, a U.S. island area, Guam, U.S. Virgin Islands, or abroad to a U.S. citizen, parent, or parents, like those serving in the military. Maybe they're born in Japan, but their parents are American, so they are an American citizen. When it comes to foreign-born, the way the U.S. Census Bureau looks at this, they refer to foreign-born as anyone who is not a U.S. citizen at birth. That also includes naturalized U.S. citizens. Native-born, the Census Bureau uses the term native and native-born to refer to anyone born in the states, Puerto Rico, U.S. island area, Guam, Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, again, are a U.S. parents that are out of the country when the child is born. And then they talk about generational status to refer to the place of birth of an individual. Questions on place of birth, parental place of birth, are first used to define the first, second, third, and higher generations. The first generation composed of those who were foreign born. The second refers to those with at least one foreign born. The third and higher include two U.S. native parents. You take what we've had come into our country illegally. Let's just say for the sake of the argument, it's only 8 million. The number is way above that. Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation with us yesterday, an expert on immigration and homeland security, says we have something like 1.9 million gotaways. We see them, but we can't get to them in time before they disappear into the country. And then we do know from recent documents that the Biden administration has been flying something like 400,000 from deep below Mexico into various parts of our nation, and overnight simply dropping them off, giving them a new opportunity there, and they're suddenly there the next day. Then if every one of them, let's say out of the 8 million, let's say only 2 million are women, but if only half of those, 1 million, have a child, that's 1 million new U.S. citizens. And when they get old enough to have a child, that's, you see how that plays out. And it fits the program of the leftist to a T. Now, President Biden released his blueprint to make America great again. Now, that's not what he called it, of course. If anything, it's his proposed $7.3 trillion budget will weaken America even more when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you like inflation now, if you like your grocery bill being up 20%, you're going to like it even more because it means more inflation will come. But it's also fundamentally sticking your head in the sand to think that higher taxes are good for the economy. The reason we're doing fairly well now is still because of the tax cut of 2017, passed by Republicans, passed by Donald Trump. But there is a fundamental difference between the parties. Joe Biden and the Democrats think that if you tax business, somehow that's going to be something that we survive and it won't cost us jobs, but it will cost jobs. Inevitably, you'll have economic malaise and you'll have loss of jobs if you raise taxes on corporations. And so I think it's very much a misguided blueprint, and I think it'll be dead on arrival here. I don't think we'll let it happen.
Well, I would certainly hope so. And again, that's Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky talking about the $7.3 trillion budget from Joe Biden. Yeah, we need to put a stop to it. And he said, but if you like your inflation now, you're going to love it in the future. My co-producer, Quentin, brought something to my attention I had not seen. I'd heard a little bit about it, but I had not really paid a lot of attention. But this fits perfectly with where we are in our economy right now. I'm in a store the other day, actually a pharmacy chain. I could name it, but that's unimportant. but there's no one at the counter for me to deal with. They have the little checkout kiosk nearby. Well, I've got a basket thing, and I don't want to spend my time doing that. So I wait for somebody, and finally I catch someone's attention. They're overstocking shelves. They're working, but they're not working where I need them. So they come over and almost begrudgingly go ahead and check me out. And they're saying, well, you know, you could use a kiosk. I said, well, I think I'm helping you keep your job. Well, there brings a story up that Quentin pointed me to. He said, one source points out that you might need an app on your phone to use self-checkout during your next trip to Walmart because they might start insisting from Business Insider that you're going to have to use the kiosk because they're cordoning off lanes, so you can't use people in general. Now, another source article pointing out Walmart and Target stores are changing how they operate the self-checkouts. The scan registers, well, you pay app subscribers, delivery drivers, depending on the time of day, how busy it is. So the company is closing in Target some of those checkouts as a way of testing. Walmart says its strategy of opening self-checkouts is based on staffing and customer demand is nothing new. But some of this has to do with high levels of theft. I don't know how that would stop it. I guess you'd think you could put it in the bag and it's not scanned. You know every time you go through the door, ding, ding, ding. Well, I checked it. I thought I did. No, you didn't. You're trying to steal it. The self-checkout was first tested in supermarkets in the late 80s and, of course, gained momentum 20 years ago. And now it's beginning to step up even more, according to a survey of retailers, an industry group. 96% of retailers surveyed offered self-checkout, and that has been an issue. A year ago, grocery chain Walgreens started citing losses due to the checkout app because shoppers were not scanning and bagging everything they should. Well, we know some just go in and pick up what they want, go back out. But now there's another point they're coming to. They're going to charge you to use the kiosk. That's right. They're going to charge you to use the kiosk. You're not only paying for your item, you're going to have to be charged because you're using the only option you have to buy. There is no one behind the counter, so you got to use the kiosk. Oh, and we're going to add on a fee for that. That reminds me when we had the gas surtaxes added for cab drivers because gas prices went up, remember? Many of those cabs still have gas surcharge added, still on their windows to this day. Walmart this past fall removed self-checkout kiosk in three stores in Albuquerque as part of a location-by-location approach. And they're thinking about doing away with it, but at the same time, they say a store might start or end the day with staff check, and then eventually the number of shoppers, those in there, we have to have people open up registers. Target self-checkout said it's closing, did not say it's closing or limiting self-checkout, but did release this statement. In select stores, we're piloting a number test to determine their impact on the overall guest experience. Guest, you're a guest at Target. Did you know that? Kroger doing the same thing, although it's a little different. They've deployed artificial intelligence technology at some of the 2,800 stores. Amazon has a walkout technique. More than 70 Amazon-owned stores are using it at this point. This is using cameras allowing you to enter with a credit card. Just simply leave it up there and take out what you want. They'll just take it right off your card. And don't forget, they might start charging you to use that opportunity. I'm ready to go back to the old mom-and-pop store. Those small businesses, they were driven out by these big stores, and now they control everything. Coming up, what are we going to do about inflation and auditing the federal deficit? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.